Welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast, where we dive into the many aspects, challenges, and life-changing lessons that are part of our spiritual awakenings. Through conversations, we are looking to bring you wisdom and perspectives so that you feel more supported and connected as you navigate your own awakening path. We are your hosts, Kate McGee and Amanda Richardson-Meyer. We've both been through our own unique awakening journeys that have changed and transformed our lives. And through these awakening conversations, we will be growing and expanding alongside you. We're so glad to have you join us. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Awakening Conversations podcast. My name is Kate and I'm here with my co-host Amanda. And today we want to open up a conversation about starseeds. And we want to bring this forward today as a way to begin to set the stage, plant some seeds for you to consider a bigger context to why you are here, your purpose in life, maybe a greater mission that you have. And a way for us to understand, I think, sometimes the context or a greater context for why we've had certain experiences in our lives, why we think in certain ways, why we have certain desires that might seem completely different and strange and out of the ordinary to maybe the family of origin that we come to live with and have, our friends, our society, the cultures that we're born into. And even as I say starseed, as we've hit record, I have a little bit of like a feeling through my physical body of like, oh my God, you just said starseed and you're going to post this on the internet. I've come to the conversation of starseeds with some level of skepticism. Prior to probably 2023, I would have just said it was, you know, whatever. I won't swear, but, you know, bit of whatever, you know, crazy ideas, starseeds. And then through my own learning, but more importantly, my own experiences, I've come to open the door to this being something to consider. As I've learned more about, you know, one, the fact that we are more than just a human physical body, you know, with a mind walking around in a 3D world. We're a soul, we're a consciousness. And then through my experiences, learning to channel, working with the Akashic Records, and I'll go into more detail in a little bit, coming to realize truly that there's so much more to who we are than what we think. And so, again, I think I said this way back at the start of our podcast that there's going to be things that we talk about where you might want to just shut the door on it, but I invite you to keep the door open or allow yourself to open the door and see if you might want to walk through into the conversation about starseeds, because it can be a really affirming way to understand a bit more about yourself, but also just feel less strange, I think, less like random or different, and also ground you in a sense that, okay, there is more to life. There's more to your life, and some of the choices you're feeling called to make aren't so odd, or I don't know what another word is, but you know, that it's perfectly right for you and that there's some bigger reason behind it. So Amanda, excited to talk to you today about starseeds.
Same. Yeah. I think at 2020 is when I first started to learn about this concept, and it sounded interesting. But the more that I've learned, the more that it funnily makes sense. It's not something that I just speak about to with anyone. So hopefully those of you that are listening have an open mind and an open heart, unless you already do feel a strong connection to this concept of starseeds. But really, I think for myself, it has opened up opportunities to understand myself more. And also, I think what we're going to talk about today, it connects us to this greater collective change and experience that we're going through on a grander scale, because it's, as we're going to talk about, our generations have shared consciousness experiences. Like, there are some of us here in our age range that have come here, or that feel like our past have put us in some circumstances to be a change in certain ways. Looking at my life from this more zoomed out view, it makes me feel like, okay, my life has this purpose that I from a starseed perspective, I chose to come down here and experience. I made this decision from some higher version of myself. And also, what I think is really cool is, you know, from this perspective, they say that this is Earth School, and Earth School is one of the hardest places to incarnate. And so if you think about it, we're doing a pretty good job if we're down here in the hardest place and we're making it, we're doing okay. So for myself, and I think what we'll discuss here is that there is something distinct about when we were born, when we are incarnated in time. And as we'll discuss, our future generations, they have specific characteristics and specific energy to them. And so to me, it says that we are not repeating cycles. We are evolving because our future generations are coming in with different energies. I think we're going to listen to some videos here because it was one particular video in particular that prompted this conversation and this exploration that we're going to have today. Specifically, we're talking about the concept of indigo children. And I listened to this video by Cryon, who's a channeler, and it really spoke to me because I feel like for much of my life, I've seen the dysfunctional systems and felt the need to make a difference in certain ways or do something about it or live my life differently. And for a while, it's felt like, why can't I just not see this stuff? Why can't I just go along with my life? But from this perspective, indigo children came here to experience those things, to then disrupt and change, to see, we have to see these systems in order to make a difference, right? And so that is what has prompted this conversation. And that is what we're going to explore in some of the videos and then have some further conversation. Is there anything that you want to add before we dive in?
Yeah, I want to add that, you know, this topic kind of fits into really beginning to understand the, like you said, great words, zoom out, greater context of what we are here moving through as humans, as souls, as a collective, that we are going through an evolutionary process where consciousness is rising, consciousness is changing. And I think the thing that has always challenged me, I guess, is that as humans, we don't really believe there's anything, outside of this planet, right? But truth is, there is. There's more to the universe than just Earth. And, you know, I think we'll see evidence of that soon enough. But with that, you know, the big thing that's really helped me understand or be more open to this and really to hold it as like this is part of who we are is really understanding truly that we are multidimensional beings, that we our consciousness exists on many planes of reality. And, you know, there's a journey through our awakening process to come to understand that, to feel it, to experience it, to be okay with an idea like that. And it's, you know, it's growth. But more and more people are beginning to wake up to and this concept and feel a draw to more of themselves, to have experiences in new ways that they haven't before. And this is us really beginning to sense more and more of this multidimensional nature of who we are. And as you said, even with the indigo, which we're going to talk about, coming in with certain, to have certain experiences to help forward a certain part of our evolution. And I think too, you know, for myself, when I did start to understand this as a subject, I have always felt this, like, it feels lofty, and people have told me it's lofty, heartfelt desire that I want to change the world. Like, you know, I feel like a child when I say that, you know, like I'm here to change the world, or I believe that we can change the world, you know, and even as I say it, I have this real physical conviction that it doesn't exist in any other aspect of my life when I say something with such conviction. You know, it's like I know it in my bones, beyond my bones, that we can change the world. And I believe that that comes from the starseed aspect of me, because at a mental human level, I could tell you all the reasons why we can't, but this isn't where I'm feeling this conviction. It's not where I feel this truth and this desire and belief. It comes from a physical, almost like from behind me kind of place. You know, there's something else that is informing me of that and where I experience it. So wanted to throw that out there that, you know, a human mind is one experience of life. There is so much more to us. And when we can really start to open the door to that, we can experience and sort of sense these things in new ways. So, yeah, let's begin to talk about it then. Where shall we start?
Well, I think let's talk about some key traits of starseeds, because I think that what you just spoke to is something that maybe those listening that resonate with this concept, maybe that they have felt or feel, maybe they've suppressed this idea or this feeling that they can do something so lofty as believing that they can change the world. And so why don't we just go through that so people can identify, see where they identify with this concept. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Feeling like an outsider, strong connection to the cosmos, innate wisdom and advanced knowledge, highly sensitive and empathic, a deep desire to help humanity, experiences of awakening, and unusual dreams and memories. So those are some of the indicators, and those things might just seem like really normal to you. I think we've discussed it before that sometimes our gifts are just normal to us. Mm-hmm. And so we just assume everybody else experiences those things, but recognizing that those aspects about you might be because you're here as a star being to make an impact at this time and place in our existence.
Yeah. And I want to say to that too, that, you know, what we know about starseeds through people who channel like Chiron, I think Dolores Cannon speaks to this. So this has been around for quite some time, is that these are soul aspects of who we are, who have come here specifically to help assist humanity through the evolution that we're going through right now, through this exact time period, more or less. Like, this is it. So this is where this is important in some ways, or useful in some ways, to expand your understanding. Because if you really are feeling a call to something bigger, and, you know, really your awakening is bringing you into this greater sense of wanting to facilitate change, then this can help add context and a deeper understanding to what you're feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and dive in. We have two videos for today that we're going to watch and speak about. The first one is we're bringing in Sarah Alcaldi again, who goes by the name The Alchemist. And we will just dive into that. I think she gives a really nice explanation, and potentially you can see yourself in what she is sharing.
And can I add one more thing before you share? And as you said before, this is her video, or what we're now going to dive into is this idea of the indigo children, which in terms of what we're talking about in starseeds, this is different waves of starseeds who have come over time for this evolutionary process to be the ones helping to facilitate the change, as we just talked about. And we're going to expand on that, as you said at the beginning, to how that
is. Yeah, and add on to that, just to give further context. So the indigo children, they say around the 1970s to the mid-1990s is when a lot of these children have incarnated. Then we have, after that, the crystal children, and then, which is about mid-1990s to about 2010s, and then, or late 2000s, and then rainbow children. And I think there's overlap. It's not like discrete or anything. We're not going to really talk about crystal or rainbow children much, but the crystal children, those, well, maybe we'll speak about that after once we get a context of the indigo children.
The popular wisdom, do not be so heavenly minded that you are no earthly good, has never been more relevant than when it comes to the indigo ray of creation. Indigos are the soul group that incarnated on earth from higher dimensional realms, not to be examples of saintly good, but to get their hands dirty and to expose the underbelly of this matrix. So today I'm going to be sharing who the indigos are, our purpose here during this age, the main pitfall that we face. Indigos are beings from higher dimensions or densities who incarnated at this time to help anchor a new frequency onto Earth. The reason they are called indigos is because they vibrate at the frequency of the indigo ray of creation. This ray is known for its ability to clearly perceive truth. It correlates with the sixth major energy center, the Ajna chakra, or the third eye. So they embody the attributes of this energy center, which are all things regarding perception, clear sight, discernment, perspicacity, intuition, and conscious, the ability to see what is right in any given situation. The indigo ray is the frequency of clairvoyance that can see beyond the third dimensional perception. They can see multiple points of perspective beyond their own because they are connected to the superconscious. So naturally, having a higher viewpoint and an ability to perceive, indigos are here to bring clear vision. We have a strong calling to cut through all illusions that have been holding humanity under its spell. So indigos will be drawn to cut through all areas of manipulation and false institutions that are standing in between humanity and clear sight. You can imagine a warrior clearing a path through tall grass with a machete. And in a similar way, the indigos are paving the way for even higher vibrational beings to incarnate at this time, called the crystalline beings, also known as the crystal babies. We ensure that they can bring their medicine and gifts to the world by shifting the vibration of the planet through helping humanity awaken. We are the heretics, the sages, the artists, all rolled into one. With indigos, you never know what you're going to get. We're like a honey badger meets a ninja meets a shaman meets a water hose that's flailing out of control. With this wide array of talents, we are the spiritual warriors, teachers, and healers. The indigos do it all. We're like the Swiss Army knife of spirituality. Indigos started incarnating on Earth in the 1950s. At first, they came here almost like scouts ahead of the other rays of creation to prepare the energies here on Earth for the harmonic convergence in 1987. Now, the harmonic convergence acted like a portal. It raised the vibration of Earth high enough to allow even more indigos to come in, but these indigos had even more of their intuitive abilities. Because when we enter a version of reality that is in the state of spiritual amnesia, like the one we're in right now, knowledge and information is withheld from us so that we are easier to control. This is known as a system operating in darkness. Now, darkness has a powerfully positive side to it, but I'm not talking about that form of darkness. I'm talking about the violating and malevolent force of darkness. So when an indigo enters a matrix operating in the dark, we have to leave a lot of our intuitive abilities at the door. We agree to come into this realm without the totality of our psychic capabilities and without remembering why we came here in the first place. We get programmed by our religious, political, national, and academic institutions, just like everybody else. All we have access to is some of our gifts, our intuition, and our spiritual team, who help activate our dormant abilities and arrange synchronicities to trigger us into remembering why we are here. So when more indigos were allowed in from the harmonic convergence, the vibration was raised high enough for us to bring more of our capabilities into this realm. So the odds are not really in our favor, but yet at the same time, we have a strong intuition, which is the potential for remembering why we are here. That's why indigos are known for being tenacious and headstrong. You would have to be headstrong if you come into a reality that is being bad vibes without access to all of your knowing, because at the very least, you can fall back on your instincts and nature that something isn't right and you're not just going to let it slide. You're going to question everything. That's also why indigos are known for being rebels. It's typically easier for an indigo to break out of their programming than it is for others inside this experience. Because our instincts don't allow us to easily conform to the false systems of authority in place here. We don't put others above us, and we don't blindly accept authority because we operate from the third eye and the crown center. So we know what true authority comes from, which is enlightenment. However, no matter how enlightened an indigo is, we aren't concerned with how enlightened we actually come across. We care more about being right. We will straight up cyber jump you for days with facts about GMOs and the Fed or any topic in need of shedding light on so that humans can have more free will. In its most basic sense, light is simply information. This is what we are talking about when we talk about light in a spiritual way. It doesn't mean good. It doesn't mean benevolent. It simply means information. So when we are informed, that's called conscious. So light becomes consciousness. When you turn a light on in a room, you can see more information now with the light on. Before the room was dark, you were not informed. Then the light gave you an ability to see the room. This is what we call information, which will give us free will. You cannot have free will. You cannot have choice if you are not informed. So the main purpose for the indigos is to bring light into the system through exposing the underbelly of this matrix. Because if a collective has more information, then they have the free will now to be informed. You can't manipulate people if they are informed, conscious, and healthy. You would need to dumb them down and constantly traumatize them to keep them fragmented and pitted against one another. You would need to always keep them in a state of emergency so that their limbic system is in constant distress, because that's how you cut off access to the third eye.
I've took notes.
Good. I'm excited. I learned to hear.
All right. So there's a lot of good stuff in there. And what came up for you in that long clip?
What came up for me was listening to that. I was able to, again, have this experience of like joining some dots in my own life. And I love, I don't know if it was Ram Dass that says it, or was it Steve Jobs? Maybe it's Steve Jobs, completely different, same, but different maybe, where he says, you know, it's when you look back, you can see the dots that kind of led you to where you were and where you are. You know, hearing her say those sort of things about how indigo children have come into the world, that they're, you know, here to bring clear sight, they have intuition, conscience or conscience, able to see multiple perspectives and helping people, other people have clear sight. It just sort of cast me back to my own childhood, and I can remember, you know, always feeling like an outsider, and, you know, right to one of my earliest memories of like being in like daycare, pre-kindergarten, and feeling like an outsider. And, you know, just in general, that's always been my experience. Always felt like I'm on the outside looking in, wondering how do I get in there? Having these, you know, strong desires to know myself as a spiritual being when I was young, being so drawn to all of that stuff. And I think it was because it's, you know, it's who I am here to be. Just in my young mind and brain, didn't know how to access it or wasn't time to access, as she sort of said there. It's experiences that we have through the synchronicities that help us remember our abilities. And that really spoke to my own path of actually remembering my intuitive gifts, like reactivating them to the point where I am clairvoyant. I can see things. I do that as a job. I facilitate that. And, you know, prior to the actual course I took to like remember and like start using these gifts actively, and, you know, other clairs came online after that too. But I honestly had this desire and fascination with people who were psychics and, you know, go to psychic fairs, and was like, how can I have such a strong desire to like want to be able to see and not have that skill? Like, I couldn't understand it in my own mind. Like, it's a fascination for me to the point of like, I want to be able to do that, but why can't I? Why can I be so interested in it and not do it? Turns out because I can. So, you know, through synchronistic moments. It was, you know, meeting someone in the US who's mentioned this thing called Akashic readings. I'm like, what is that? She gives me the name of the person that she has readings with. I take a reading and then I do that for a few years. And that woman says, oh, I'm doing a course. Do you want to do it? I never have money for the courses I want to sign up for. And someone had just paid for a spot on my retreat that I was holding at the time was the exact amount of money as this course. Okay, I'm going to take this course. Have no idea really what I'm getting myself in for. This course opens up my gifts for me. The pursuit of wanting to continue that expansion and knowledge of my intuitive abilities leads me to this course on mediumship and channeling that then helps me realize that I can channel, which starts to open the door for me of like, we're more than just this human being. It leads me down a path of wanting to explore that further. Energy guide program, learn about being a multidimensional being, meet you, start a podcast talking about awakening conversations and, you know, being the mouthpiece then for the awakening, the shift, how we can live differently. So it really, you know, and many other things that have you know, expanded in my life to support that. It really struck me then to be like, well, that's been my path.
Yeah. And isn't it so cool and also gratifying that you've had that experience, or it is for me at least, it's like having the experience and then seeing this like greater explanation for the journey that you've been on and just how magical it is that you've known to follow your own path versus trying to fit into the mold of how humans are supposed to live. It's like there's something in you that knew not to take that other path.
Yeah.
And
even in how uncomfortable that is. Right. Like when you talk to that, I can think of all the choices I've made to honor the part of me that's different and just be that. And it's not comfortable, right? Like it goes against every human instinct and the ego, right, to choose that. And yet, yes, when I look back on my life, like I've just always lent out to the side and just lent into that edge because that's actually where I felt the most authentic and the real me.
Yeah, and the other did not feel good for myself. No, also,
every time like, you dip in and try to be like that.
Oh, I feel sick when I try to go get a real job or...
Yes.
Yeah, stay in one spot or, create this like conventional life. Yeah, I had a thought pop in as you were talking. And so it's like the indigo generation is almost this bridge generation of where we get to experience both. We get to experience life without these gifts. And what is that like to go through life with these gifts dormant and not activated and suppressed, and also existing within these systems of dysfunction? And then we get to go through these awakening experiences and have these gifts activated. And so it's almost like we have to have life without, our generation had to experience life without it and then life with it to have that contrast. And it also kind of mirrors our generation, kind of the Gen X millennial generation of technology, where it's like, we know what life is like without technology, the analog life. And then we also know. And so it's like, we know the gifts and pros and cons to both, or we can like merge the best of both worlds. And so we can be practical. She talked about like getting our hands dirty. She talked about like not needing to appear spiritual. So it's like we're kind of like down to earth in a way. And yet we can also turn on these gifts and you know, as we're talking, it's like, oh, I don't want to like share that I'm starseed or I believe in these things. I'm not like making fun of you. I'm just like, in general, like I'm the same. Right. And so because we've had these experiences of where that's mocked or talked, you know, we've had a life where that's been criticized or judged or whatever, we kind of want to keep it. We don't want to appear too woo-woo or something. I shouldn't generalize because I'm sure there's people who are okay with that. But maybe for those of us that haven't always, that's not always been a part of who we are.
Yeah.
There's a part of us that also wants to keep a leg in both worlds. Like we want, because we are, I think, a bridge generation. Like,
yeah,
you know, Vanessa talks about like, were the bridges to this awakening process. And so we have to know what both experiences are like so we can relate to the old world and the new world, right? If we only know the new world, we can't be a bridge to create the new.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that today. I was like, I feel like I'm supposed to work with people that are kind of, that are existing in old energy, that they are not realizing. For me, it's important for me to not like swing to one side with my beliefs and putting them out there, because I'm meant to challenge people that are stuck in old energy. And I can't really do that if they just close their ears to me. Mm-hmm. And so I have to act like I have to play in the middle.
Yeah.
And I had that realization today. I'm like, well, why don't I just come out and say what I really think? And it's like, yes, I could, but then I'm shutting the door for being a bridge to certain people that I feel like I can impact. I feel like we are that bridge generation, us indigos. Yeah. And it's through seeing the old and the dysfunction. And it's also in embracing the starseed concept, our gifts, and this world of possibilities that is foreign. And I think because we have a foot in the old world, we can kind of bring this idea to those that are maybe thinking it's a little bit out there and weird.
Yeah. You know, I think the fact exactly as you say that we've had these beginnings, we know what it's like, right? We've had the full visceral emotional experience of that and the gifts. And yes, I think for many that are listening who might resonate with this, that yes, the bridge, we are the bridge, and we have to have those two perspectives so that exactly as you just said, we can extend a hand to those who are ready to cross that bridge, because in essence, as starseeds, part of what we are here to do through our humanly work, you know, expressing this part of ourselves, not maybe necessarily standing on the bridge saying, I'm a starseed, hey starseeds, follow me, but being who we are through the gifts that we're here to share with other people, through the lives that we've lived, the things we've learned, to help people take the leaps in consciousness, to help assist those others that are beginning to awaken, know how to navigate this. You know, what is the path? What's an avenue I can follow? Where can I learn to expand my consciousness? They can expand it with you by learning about their potential through gene keys and AI. They can learn it with me by helping them understand their inner world, you know, to get feel more masterful so that they feel capable of crossing that bridge. You know, this is where these roles as starseeds come in. It's individual and unique to each of us, maybe with broader context of us helping to, you know, help consciousness raise and assist in the awakening process. But we all have our own unique path, which again, we'll highly recommend exploring the gene keys to know the nuance of that, to facilitate those roles and exactly assist others to cross that bridge, to then be a bridge for others. And then that, coming back to my big lofty dream, is how we are helping humanity, like, to build and create a more loving world that we want to live in, because it's completely possible. That's, again, we keep saying we do our work, and then through our work, we see how we are here to help other people essentially with whatever it is. You know, we all have that unique path, but we have something to give others that can assist them in their, you know, bigger realization of who they are or some forward motion in their own path. So, yeah. What else was I going to say? I think that was all I was going to say on that.
And I think she mentions we are remembering why we are here. And I think part of starting to tap into this idea of starseeds, being starseeds, it's the idea that we're here with a purpose, with a mission, Like, we're here to play a role, impact humanity, activate our gifts. And all of those things are changing the world, right? By waking up to more of who we are, the fact that we are multidimensional beings, the fact that we are more than just a cog in the dysfunctional system that we were born into. We have much more potential. And by activating that potential, we are changing the world. And so you are changing the world by just doing what you're doing, by being you. You are changing the world. I think the notion that, you know, don't believe that you are changing the world, that is, you know, that lofty, what makes making it feel like a lofty dream or an unrealistic dream, is a way for us to shut that intention down and realize that, oh, we can't actually make much of a difference. When realizing, like, by being who we are, by doing what's uncomfortable but feels right, we are making a difference. And that's how we change this world, is by stepping into more of our authentic creator being selves that we came here to be, that we incarnated to be. So
yeah. And I'll just add too that, you know, in its simplest form, the difference we make is, if I can love and accept myself more, if I love myself more, I have a greater capacity to love other people, and there in and of itself I am changing the world. Because I am loving other people in a different way, which means they receive love in a new way. They are able to then potentially, like, bring that into their system, love themselves more. Like, it's really, again, it's about love. Got to love ourselves first, though. That's our journey. And there's a self-acceptance piece. And, you know, getting to learn about starseeds just is like, wow, how fucking cool am I? Maybe you can bleep that bit. You know, like, it's another lens, I think, that we can, you know, add to this way of understanding ourselves, and especially those that feel there's a mission or they're driven to do something else and that do feel different and want to understand why.
Let's continue watching her video and see what else wants to be spoken to.
Is in constant distress, because that's how you cut off access to the third eye. So indigos are here to bring more free will to humanity by shedding more light into this realm. Indigos are not in any one sector. We are spread out. Some of us chose unconventional life paths so that we can be the spiritual teachers, healers, earth grid workers that the world needs. And then many of us subconsciously chose very conventional life paths so that we can go into a system, learn everything about it, the ins and outs, collect intel, master the system, allow ourselves to be fully indoctrinated by that system. And then our spiritual team would trigger an awakening to help us break out of that system. Because who wants to hear about medicine if you are not a doctor? And who better to speak against war than those who have been? And what better way to influence people than if you have a certain level of celebrity? Indigos are in every field of expertise, both conventional and unconventional, both in the mainstream and non-mainstream. Whether we host a podcast or have a PhD, we're in all areas in order to turn the tide towards consciousness. Our affirmations are, awaken the masses by any means necessary, and it is better to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. The Indigo's energy field is designed for confrontation. It's not so much that we like to fight, it's that we love to fight. Even though indigos are extraordinarily empathic, how they express their empathy is in its active form, through spiritual activism. We have an affinity for exposing deception, injustice, and all of its many forms. Our empathic nature can even get us into trouble when it's manipulated to fight for a cause that is actually a psyops. In fact, the main pitfall for indigos is to get recruited into the very systems that we came here to help liberate humanity from. So instead of entering a given system and then breaking out of it, we can actually get stuck in that programming. They know our gifts and the areas we specialize in, even more than we do. Even before we started to awaken, they knew our trajectories. Unfortunately, it's all too easy to target an indigo and get them using their abilities for a psyops instead. In fact, it happens all the time. Another common pitfall for indigos is to get stuck in their warrior aspect. This eventually makes us become so rigid that we enter into paranoia, hypervigilance, fundamentalism, and what this does is open the door for negative feedback loops to manifest in our reality, where we keep attracting dark forces and dark experiences, but we accidentally mistake this for a good thing because our wires are all crossed. This also blocks us off from activating the other aspects within our energy field. So it stunts our ability to integrate all of the dimensions within our being. To understand this better, you can watch my video on this, the second phase of ascension. In a nutshell, indigos are here to raise the consciousness of the planet by being catalysts for spiritual awakenings. We receive and transmit light, which is information. And by doing this, we are creating ripples or waves in the space-time continuum that are moving humanity into a new earth. The indigos are the wayseers that boldly pave the path for higher vibrational crystal babies to enter the arena and for higher vibrational realities to self-actualize, knowing full well that before the truth can set us all free, that first it will piss us off.
I think it's really fascinating to see what we're going through right now. And, you know, I think that you and I, we've taken more unconventional paths. Maybe we started in a conventional path, but we got off that path pretty early on, right, in our journeys. But it makes a lot of sense that we need people and all of the systems to then begin breaking them down and to be rebuilding something new by understanding what is not working. And I feel like, you know, we're beginning to see that within all the different systems currently. And I imagine it's going to be a gradual yet relatively fast process of this happening, faster than we can maybe imagine these things changing. But I always find it interesting, like she talks about the negative feedback loops of, I think, you know, I've even experienced this myself in the early phases of awakening, as far as like going down these, you know, rabbit holes of what's wrong with the world, and there are these dark forces, and it's easy to get sucked into these energies of just fixating on what's going on, what's wrong with the world. And I think we have to begin to see that, you know, I think that's a important part of the process, but we can get stuck there if we are existing in fear, because we're not creating anything, we're not changing anything by living in fear. Maybe that fear can motivate us in a different direction. It could be, but we also have to be moving towards creation as well. I mean, so I'm thinking specifically for myself, like back in 2016, when I started to wake up to the corruption of the U.S. political system, and I was pretty consumed by it. I didn't see how I could continue living in the United States. And eventually I had to stop paying attention to it and focusing on what I could do differently. And honestly, like looking back now, my mom passing away was something that really diverted my focus, and like her getting sick and then passing away, it was something that changed it, you know, the trajectory that I was on to start paying attention to something different, which then activated something within me, which then prompted me to leave the country towards something versus only just, you know, there still was fear there, but moving away from something, but it was also motivated by a vision of something, of creation. I think we all go through stages of the, you know, as we start to see the dysfunction and the start to awaken to what are the problems, and kind of have to come to terms with, you know, we can't just focus on all the things going wrong, because that, like, as she said, it's like a psyop. It prevents us. That's actually advantageous to the things that we are fearing, because it just perpetuates us. And so we have to get out of that loop, and we have to go in a different direction in order to live out our missions and purposes of, as far as what we've came here to do and impact.
Yeah, I mean, fear is so mental. And I literally was having a conversation this morning, not that I was in fear, but just I've been in a real mental state. And that's made me feel a certain way. And, you know, I loved your example of life and how you felt when you woke up to the political system. So, you know, you're getting in your head about like, how messed up is this, right? You have this experience with your mom that gets you out of your head into your heart. And of course, losing someone changes things, but you're moving from a mental place to a bit more into your physical body because you're feeling feelings. And that's where you're able to shift, right? So it's like really another great example of how we, if we ever find ourselves caught in those cycles where it's that getting ourselves back into our body where we can pull away from fear, where we get back to the place where we can access, you know, our ability to move towards our creatorship. I think that's just such a great example of that. Yeah, you know, as she was talking there about, and as you said, that many of us are here to sort of change systems and we come into it from all walks of life. I think it's great to hear that. And there's another video that we've watched prior to this, whether we show it or not, that again spoke to that, that we're here to be in all these different places and to facilitate these different kinds of conversations. And it made me think that I've had a moment back, I don't even know, like 2017, maybe 2015, journaling one morning. And I had this realization that I'm here to be this kind of like normal person, normal looking, normal seeming, nice person, so that I can make these things more accessible. Like people aren't like, well, threatened by me, hopefully. But do you know what I mean? Like that my presence and who I am is to be this approachable in some ways person so that I can speak about spiritual things, about these different kinds of topics in a way that people like, okay, maybe I can listen to her. I can relate to her because she seems quote unquote normal, or you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, totally.
Normal, approachable, and not threatening or weird. You know, I feel I am weird, but I love my weird. I'm not weird in any kind of like, I have blue hair and whatever. Not, there's a judgment on that, but do you know what I mean? And so that feels like, you know, a testament to that. Like we're all in all places. Some of us will have blue hair and that's going to connect with a certain type of people. We came here for that. You know, it's all by design. The other thing I want to say too, where she was talking about, you know, we're not here to fight. We love to fight or something like that. I don't love to fight. I love to love. But what I really thought there was that, you know, it's here to really expose injustice. I also wanted to say too, that it doesn't always have to seem loud, you know, and it can be in these ways that it's simply how we are with people in our lives, that we might be the ones offering up the bigger perspective. We might be the one who's, you know, offering the zoom out so that others can have a broader perspective of their lives and like open their eyes, open their minds, you know, begin to have this opportunity to awaken to more than they're currently seeing, perhaps if they're fully in fear. So, you know, as a starseed, anyone awakening and resonating with this, it can be simply that as well, that your way of exposing injustice can be in that kind of more, let's say, micro level to all the way out to being someone like a leader out in the field, you know, maybe in government, maybe in just whatever arena, very vocal with a large audience. So it can be anywhere on that spectrum.
Yeah. And I think a fight doesn't have to be what we envision a fight being. It can be being determined and persistent and also being just determined for a cause or a mission. It's like we're almost like the like warriors, like we're here for a cause, but it doesn't need to look like a physical altercation in terms of fighting. Right. It can be in subtler ways. Like we can fight energy. Well, you know, I don't really love the fighting concept either, but at the same time, it's like, you know, the martial art Aikido. It's like, it's through using someone's force and you move out of the way and like the force turns back on them. I think that's what it means. But it's like you can hold up, you know, you can in a way expose those systems through turning their energy back on themselves. So that makes sense, right? Like, but we can do it by asking questions, by exposing things that don't, for me, it's like, I like to expose things that doesn't make sense. That's inconsistent and like hypocritical. Like by asking questions, someone can expose themselves by just, and I don't even have to, I don't even have to like come at them in a combative way for them to be exposed. Like that's, I enjoy doing that on social media where it's just, I ask a question and the other person, either they have to ask themselves or other people see. And so they no longer want to come at me because I've diffused it with a question.
And it wasn't not a punch or a poke, literally just a question.
There's ways that we can fight in ways that we don't necessarily think of fighting.
Yeah, I really love that example. Yeah. And that's important to understand because, you know, the fight is for growth, for love, for more, a better world, not to simply just be, I'm right, you're wrong. You know, it's, it is, we're here to expose injustice, to show what is not working, to show there is a better way. And I love your example because you're showing, you're leading in how we can show a better way, you know, like by questioning. It's just simply questioning. Like we're peeling away a layer of the onion at a time to get to the heart of it. And is that heart pure or is that heart rotten? You know, it's just a question. You know, it's not an attack. It's just like, well, what about this? What about that? So yeah, I think that's a really wonderful example.
I just thought of another one. It's like, I fight for my kids by choosing not to live a status quo life. Like I guess maybe I'm thinking about fighting in different ways, but it's like I stand as a protector of my children by choosing to not accept what I'm told is how I should live my life. And there's other ways you can look at it as well. What's that?
Where would you like to go from here?
Can we just listen to the other one? And we can, you know, because we are at an hour, but I think we can just
we'll be trimming keep some
in
of that.
Points that are pertinent.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the next video we're going to dive into is by Kryon, who is a channeler. And well, his name's not Kryon, but he's channeling an entity called Kryon. And he is talking about indigo children, and there are some similarities and some new information. So let's dive into that one and see where it takes our conversation.
There were seeds planted 25 years ago, seeds of consciousness within the DNA of so many individuals that would then emerge now. And what would those individuals do? Let me ask you, what do you need the most in your culture right now? What do you need the most, perhaps, that history never gave you? And the first is the recognition of dysfunctional paradigms and the change that you could make to them. A child has to endure them. An adult who understands what they are and has gone through them can begin to change them. Because an adult then does interesting things that a child cannot. They have their own family. They can then rewrite what happened to them and change that. Adults become then the educators, the teachers, the deans of schools, the principals, their indigos. And they can look around and slowly start to change the very system that was dysfunctional and still is to some degree. And we said this would happen, that when indigos grew up and became accountable, responsible, and started their own families and started their own careers, they would see the dysfunctions and bring it to the attention of those who might be able to do something about it. Now, there's still another kind of a fight, a dark and light battle as adults, as they look at the paradigms they're in, and they become the teachers and the principals, and now they are able to poke at the system and start to change that which the children were asked to do or how they were asked to do it. Children today, dear ones, not a lot different in the old energy, go to school and expect certain kinds of things. What they don't get and have not received is the ability to choose more of what they're able to study, how they're able to study it, how long they study it, and reward systems of being able to study with others, help others, and have a day off or two. These are the kinds of things, dear ones, that enable a school and not just put children in to learn, supposedly, to push their pencils around and give the answers that they have memorized to the teachers and learn very little. This is the indigo, the new emergence of the indigo teacher in school. But there's more. What about the one that decides, I'm going to study and run for office in this great land? And they start doing that very thing. And they start, perhaps, in their local councils, and it graduates, perhaps, to the state governments. And pretty soon, they learn the ropes of something that is broken, the political system. And you know what I'm speaking of. It has become the most dysfunctional thing in this great land that I sit in for all the citizens. I told you in the address I gave you, the state of the planet, that it wouldn't matter much who won your election. Now you know who won your election, but it still won't matter much because it isn't about accomplishing things. It's more about fighting with the other party that didn't win. And the party that didn't win is going to fight with the one who did win. So instead of making good laws for citizens, they will invest in fighting the other party, bringing it down. And so, dear ones, you have the fight that is on, and the indigos will see this. And in that which they do next and run for the offices they do, they now start another decade of growing into that system and changing it from the roots. Systemically, they say it is broken. So systemically, it can then be fixed with a higher consciousness that will go in and say, we don't fight with each other about what has happened or who is right or who is wrong. Instead, we present that which has integrity of our ideas, and we capture the tolerance of allowing the other side to talk to us or be there with us. You might say it's a return to how it was designed, how it was set up, how it actually worked for a while. But the indigos are here to take the positions of power. Eventually, you will see younger politicians making much better decisions, dear ones, and affecting that which is the population, which will see it, understand it, and say it's about time. There is a revolution at hand. And the revolution isn't about young people. The revolution is about higher consciousness within the young people. Those indigos who arrived by the millions in these last 25 years knew at some level who they were, that they would make these kinds of changes, and they wouldn't make them by marching in the streets. They wouldn't make them by having rallies. They'd make them one at a time. In meetings where they said, here's a better way. Did you think of this? And we're going to then slowly rise to a position of power so that we will be able to change these things and make them far less dysfunctional. This is not your grandfather's world. Why are the rules the same? And they'll say, let's change them. The emergence of the indigo is the greatest gift for your cultures. And they're not just in America, dear ones. They're all over the world. They're having different kinds of impacts. They think different, and you'll see it. And now it's time for them to start taking the reins of the very institutions they had to endure when they were children. It's a gift for them as well. It's a gift for their children as well. It's a gift for the planet. I will be talking more about this, the emergence of the indigo. And so it is. If you
there we go.
Yeah, I was going to say, so when I listen to that, it makes me think of you. I mean, you're obviously you have children, but you're a mum that I know that is living that, you know what I mean? Your choices for your life, your choices have been for your family. You're definitely someone, you know, holding the space for your children to be that next generation that, in you know, helps fulfill my deepest desire, because you're bringing them up in a way where at their young ages, you're helping them see and know their full potential, not be you know, going through the things that we went through in a system that wants us to conform, be the same, that we've spoken about many times in previous episodes, and that, you know, you're really living into this aspect of you, and this is, your life is such a great example of it.
Thanks. I mean, I think it does resonate. And, you know, I look back and we've talked about before how our resumes, we look at our past and we're like, this is an interesting journey that I've been on. What's the through line here? And, you know, I chose to study psychology in my undergraduate. And in retrospect, I did that too, because there was something in me that wanted to understand dysfunctional family dynamics. And so there's that. And then he talks about dysfunctional schools. And it's like, I look back at my schooling and through my work, I'm like, yeah, school was not good for me. Like, but it was just something that I have to do because that's the paradigm, that's the belief system. I did it and it was like, it did not serve me. Mm-hmm. And maybe college sort of, but my schooling experience was not a great one, but in retrospect, I had to see the dysfunction in families. I had to see the dysfunction in the schooling system in order for me to, what is it he said? It's like a reaction to the dysfunctional paradigm. And so the children can't change it. The adults have to change it, right? To change it so the children can have a different experience. And only through experiencing that dysfunction, then can we choose something else. In retrospect, it's like, I got to have that experience. So then I can do something differently and choose something differently. And I also think it's fascinating that he mentioned fighting a lot in there after we just had that back and forth about fighting. And what I put down was a new way of interacting, right? Because I think the old way of doing things was fighting in a dysfunctional way. And then I think for us, it's like we're learning to communicate. We're learning to learning to obtain our desired results, our desired changes. Like we can't do it through what we think of fighting, right? We can't. Yeah. We're having to see where that energy is within us, because I know my old way of doing things was a more of a fighting approach, because that's what what I knew is like, how do you get something is more of an old, more primitive way of doing things. And, you know, my dad always said, it's like you get more with honey than you do with vinegar. Yeah. It's like learning how to be a more nuanced individual and to communicate and to, and it's like, you talk about these new leaders going into these realms and it's not through the same mechanisms of not playing the same game. And I think like we're seeing that in politics. It's like there's certain individuals that I've seen that choose to play the game differently and they stand out because they're not playing the old game. Mm-hmm. And I think there's going to be more and more of those people who choose to operate in a more loving, inclusive, or it's not a combative way, but more of like, how can we meet people and listen to people and try to use our communication in an effective way, which I think has not been the way in terms of trying to solve problems.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what really stands out is like seeking to understand the other side. Like, how do we come to a mutual agreement? How do we create a balance for both? Like, how do we take the best of what you have and the best of what we have and marry them together? You know, like the thing that I've always seen with politics is like, even in Australian politics, it's like one side will just literally say no to the other side, even if the other side's idea is really good. You know, it's just, it's almost like the mentality is to go in, well, if I'm in this party, I'm completely opposing you no matter what. And then, you know, they're just back and forth, and you elect someone else in the same thing. And for what? You know, millions of dollars spent on arguments. And then, you know, they have on TV sometimes Australian politics on the news, and it's just like, it's worse than children's school the way they carry on. It's like, these people are running our country, like what the hell are they doing? And honestly, you know, it's, you look at it like, what are they doing? Like there, it's almost like there's a mindset that I'm a politician now. I'm somebody, you know, the ego gets all inflamed and literally anything that's going to provide any change goes out the window because it's some stupid game that they play. However, as you said, there are people coming in now who are different, having a different conversation, speaking in a different way, and truly beginning to set the stage for actual change and forward motion to happen, which is exciting to see. But yeah, as he spoke about, it's now these systems that are broken, there are opportunities for us to fix, and that's what we're starting to see.
You know, our conversation, you know, it got to where we are right now. But it's like seeing that, you know, we started with the idea that star seeds came here to activate gifts. And I think through these gifts, we can start to exist in different ways. And through living and embodying those gifts, we can be templates for others.
Yes.
Because as we were just speaking, it's like, we just need someone to go into that very public arena and act differently and show that there's another way that we can do things. That's how we're going to model a different way, and how there's going to be a ripple effect of transformation is through those of us that came to live here differently. And so as we awaken to these different aspects of us, it is a gift that we don't fit in. It is a gift that we are here to live differently because we need people to start embodying different ways of people already are, but to continue embodying different consciousnesses and ways of being. And we need to model that for our children, right? Because whether they're our children or the children of our next generations, and that we can, you know, us as Indigo, the Indigo generation, we've seen the dysfunction and we get to choose something else. We can consciously begin to step into something else and to create a new framework and a new template for future generations to come.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like this is kind of a practical conversation about the concept of starseeds. Like we kind of, how is it playing out in the real world right now?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, are you feeling a resonance to anything that we've shared? Is it showing up in your life? Have you been actioning things like that? We'd love to hear your comments, your experiences. So feel free to leave those in the comments or on our website. Amanda, great conversation.
Same. Enjoyed it.
Yeah. Thank you. And thank you everyone for listening. We'll join you in the next episode.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to your favorite podcast platform or to our YouTube channel so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. Be sure to head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, for the resources mentioned in this episode. Here, you can also leave your questions, comments, or feedback so we can create more episodes that you love. And if you'd like to be a guest to share your own awakening journey with our listeners, or you have a business or offering that supports others going through their awakenings, head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, and click on Be a Guest, and we'll be in touch. Until next time, take care.